Dear Thai, dear Sangha, I'm not sure which day we are. In Shanghai, we are the 26th of February, and all of you are the 25th of February. Is that correct? Don't answer, because you will change my screen. So it is almost 1 in the morning here, and I purposely wanted to stay with you so that I can be with you and share with you the joy that I have in being in China and to bring China to you. And the reason why I wanted to do that is because when I am here, you are all with me. And everything that I am doing here is the fruit, the product of what I have learned from each and every one of you, from each of our Sangha there. It is so good to see my brother Bill on the group today. Brother Bill is from Beginner's Mind Sangha. And when I speak about the Beginner's Mind Sangha, I always remember that that was the first Sangha in the US that invited me to teach. And that was many years ago. I'm very grateful and remembering that. And I remember how we had our first retreat there. Camping in our brother Tom's house. And today we are having a first retreat with my friend in Shanghai. And it is almost the same setting. We are a very small group, and we are in somebody's wonderful Zendo. I'm not sure what the function of it is, but it is privately owned and very generously shared to groups, mindfulness, meditation, and other Buddhist groups. It is beautiful and comfortable, and and it is so, yeah, I cannot describe the joy, the feeling that I have practicing with newly sprouting Sangha like this. Reminds me also of our beginning in Montreal. Yeah, so many fond memories. So thank you all. And that was why I really wanted to share, first of all, my joy and especially my deepest gratitude, remembering the long, joyful, sometimes bumpy road that we have been traveling together. So today is our, I don't know if it is the 9th or the 10th talk in, no, it's not the 9th or the 10th. It's in a series of 10 talks on the Satipatthana Sutra. And Jill, remind me. C'est quoi? On est le sixième, le septième talk?
Sixième.
So this is the sixth talk? Sixth? Mm, I thought it was seven, but anyway. Sixth talk on the Satipatthana. And the theme of today's talk is learning true love. So the four establishment of mindfulness the Satipatthana Sutra. The first one, the body. The second one, feelings. The third one, the mind. And the fourth is object of mind. True love is part of the third foundation. It is a mental formation. And we study the mind by looking at its manifestation. Some years ago, when we were studying this sutra, and when we were studying the object of mind, we were looking at anger. So anger is a mental formation. Love is a mental formation. And it is more funnier. No, is it? Yeah. Funnier. More fun. And I'm using that word because I have my friend from Montreal in front of me. And in Montreal, when we say bye le fun, it is really fun. So talking about learning true love is very funnier than talking about anger. But when we, whether we look at anger or whether we look at the love, we look at, I'm repeating myself too often, at mental formations. And mental formations are what are manifesting in our mind consciousness, arising from our alaya consciousness. So in ourself, we all carry all kind of seeds, and we do carry seeds of all kind. And that is so wonderful, because we do have wonderful seeds of mindfulness, and we have wonderful seeds of compassion. We have wonderful seeds of true love. And learning true love is learning to practice the four diligence, to be able to touch those wonderful seeds that we know that are inside of us, and to be able to nourish, to develop them, so that they can manifest more easily and more strongly whenever are in our daily life. When I was sharing in Shanghai, I spoke a lot about happiness. I spoke a lot about our practice being the practice of joy and happiness in every moment. And today I'm speaking with you on the theme of true love. And it is the same practice. So when we are practicing in our daily life, waking up smiling, I smile. That is a wonderful practice of love. That is the practice of self-love. That is the practice of self-compassion. And that's what we have been practicing since we started this practice. And this is how I am inviting our friends who are new in the practice in China to do. So waking up smiling is a wonderful practice, and it is a love practice. It is a practice that allows us to stop and to come back to ourselves. And we are practicing the first establishment with the first in-breath in the morning. We stop, we come back to our in-breath, to our out-breath. We realize that we are alive. We realize how wonderful it is to be alive. And we are watering all those wonderful seeds of joy that we have been cultivating in our daily life. They all arise and they manifest in the morning, in our first smile of the day. So waking up this morning, I smile. to greet 24 brand new hours. May I live them in mindfulness and look at all beings with the eyes of compassion. And that is the practice of love meditation. Do you remember how Thay taught us to practice love meditation? We start by practicing love to ourselves. And that's what we do when we practice waking up this morning, I smile. And when we practice that way, we are in touch with ourselves and we embrace ourselves and we look at ourselves and we smile at ourselves. And it is so wonderful. We are practicing self-love. We are practicing self-hugging and self-embracing. And once we have done that, we send our love to all beings. And that is how we are practicing the fourth verse of the Gatha. May I look at all beings with the eyes of compassion. And when we are able to look in that way, we can see how beautiful everybody, everything around us is. And when we see how beautiful they are, we know how beautiful we are ourselves, because they are only a reflection of what it is that we are. We see who we are. We look at somebody and we see anger and we see jealousy and we see everything that we do not like. The practice of measuring and reflecting, the first practice that Thay advises monk to do. When you look at someone and you see something, look at yourself and you will find out that what you see on the other one is what is within you. So when we carry love inside of us, when we develop love and when we practice love, we look at everybody and we will see love. So looking at all beings with the eyes of compassion will reflect the compassion, the compassion, the love that we have inside of us. And we all do want to have love inside of us. And that is what is our motivation for the practice. But to want to love and to want to be loved is one thing. But to be it is something different. And in order to be it, there's only one way, and it is the way of practice. We are what we are practicing. We become what we have been practicing. We are what we have been practicing, and we will become what we are practicing today. So practicing love is cultivating love within. It's cultivating love within us, and that is how we can develop, or we can day by day develop that capacity by feeding, by touching, by feeding, by nourishing, by watering the seed at every occasion we can. And the practice that Thay has been teaching us, the practice of nourishing joy in our daily life, is that very practice of practicing self-love. And how do we do that? We stop, we breathe, we come back. We come back in order to be in touch with ourselves. We come back in order to be in touch with everything that is healing and nourishing for us. And when we are in contact that way, we are practicing which word to use. So to come back to the theme of today's talk, true love. In Vietnam, I am meeting with many new groups of practitioners, and many of them most of them are in their 30s, their 20s, young professional, successful, stressed, and I'm smiling because thinking of them, I am full of what's the right word in English? Tendresse. David, can you help me?
Tenderness.
No, c'est pas la bonne traduction. No, when you think of somebody you love, when you think of somebody like your daughter, younger brother, you feel a very light type of love. Yeah, it is tender, it is gentle, it is light, and it makes you smile. So, yeah, that's the good word. Wow, okay, the good sign. I think that the word in French, tendresse, describe what I am trying to say, but tenderness does not translate that word, I don't think. So I apologize for our American friend. But you look at Gilles' sign and you understand what tenderness, well, what tendresse is for me. And for me, that tendresse is some kind of a true love. It is a manifestation, a form of true love. And that's what I feel for them. And I feel for them that way because I still remember how I was when I was at that age also. They are deeply in love and they suffer so much because of their love. And when you see that, you see how beautiful it is, but you also have compassion for them because you know how beautiful that love can be when you are at 20 years old and it is your first love and you are brokenhearted and you cry and you go to a temple and you look for some monk from Canada speaking to you, trying to, yeah, so it is, I meet a lot of them. And, yeah, so on the one hand, I can see how beautiful that love is. And when we are speaking about true love does not bring that type of suffering. But how can a love so beautiful between two young people can be true love? And I can only invite them to practice with us. And to enjoy their, and to fully live their pain. Wish them well for their next encounter. So true love. I read a Lily note, or Lily, announcement for this day, and Lily mentioned about Maitri and Karuna. Maitri, loving kindness, and Karuna, that's compassion. So Maitri and Karuna are the type of love that does not make you suffer. Yeah, but I think somebody did something and took off the screen. So Montreal need to speak up so that you can reclaim your sovereignty. Yeah, thank you. You see how easy it is to just, yeah, you just need to shout. Well, you didn't even have to do that, just manifest yourself. Yeah, so, okay, where was I? So true love, according to the teaching on love, is comprised of four elements. And the four elements of true love are Maitri, loving kindness, and that love, that loving kindness. When I first learned about the four immeasurable, and this is what we are talking about, the four elements of true love, the Brahma Vihara. Thay has taught that in Montreal in the 80s. And I love it so much that I named my two daughters and my two niece at the time with those four names. And I don't know if I have mentioned it to you yet, but Thay also gave me that name when he gave me my heart name with my with the five mindfulness trainings. So my name is Tam Lung, immeasurable heart. And that's true love. True love, that comprise loving kindness, that capacity that we have inside of us, and also the deep desire that we have to make people around us happy. And how can we do that, or how can we be that? To want to make somebody happy is one thing, but to be able to do that is another thing. So first of all, we need to have the capacity, and we need to have that energy inside of us. We have to have loving kindness inside of us. But to want to love and to have love is still not sufficient, and we need to have another thing, and that is understanding. We need to know what it is that the other person, the object of our love, needs, and to give what we understand or what we know he or she truly needs. Thay gave an example of Maitri and Karuna, the story of the durian. And the durian is that that fruit in Vietnam that I very much love. They are not in season yet, but we have already seen them on the street of Saigon. And I am salivating just thinking about it, but it is very fragrant, very sweet, very it is impossible for me to describe the taste of it, just like you have to taste it for yourself, but you may not like it, just like Thay doesn't like it at all. So Thay doesn't like it, and Thay cannot stand the smell of it. But when his disciple love him so much, and they also love durian, they always want to offer him durian. And there's nothing that can make him suffer more than to have a durian in his zendo or in his hut. And so that was the example that Thay used when he described how when we love someone, or when we love and we love without understanding, can bring about much suffering. And it is the same thing for parents. As parents, we always want the best for our children. And sometime now, speaking with my two daughters, they speak up and they say, why were you that way? We did not like that, but you forced us to do it, and we ended up hating it. And what we so love, you never allow us to have. And I don't know, well, many of you on my screen know Nang Mai. And Nang Mai is my elder daughter. And she was also my first teacher on love. I do not think that I knew what love is until she was born. And holding her in my arm, looking at real movement, remind me how I felt holding that baby at the hospital when the nurse gave it back to her after they clean her off after her birth. And that feeling has been the starting of my understanding of what love can or truly means. So Nang Mai is my dear teacher in love, is my dearest daughter. It's, no, not dearest, because if her sister hear me say that, she will not be happy. So it's my dear elder daughter. And she loved dogs very much. And she always wanted a dog. But I know that if I gave into that, I would end up being the guardian and the walker and the shit collector for my daughter's dog. So she never was allowed to have a dog. And now she mentioned to me, you know, on that day when you were so scared because I ran out of the house and you couldn't find me and you called the police and I came back like 15 minutes later, it was because I was so in love with the dog at the end of the street and I escaped to see the dog. And I did it very often, but you didn't know. But that day you caught me and you were so scared. Well, you know what? Because I wanted to see a dog and you didn't allow me to. So, yeah, she was 6 or 7 years old and she already escaped from the house to see her love, and her love at that time was a dog. When she met her husband, well, the man she married last year, I found out how she fell in love with him. When she met him, I don't know how she felt, but she said, if you want me, you know what I want. I want a dog, and I want to have my wedding in Greece. He said, okay, here's the dog, and whenever you want, we'll go to Greece. And she said, yes. So, okay, so that's how she, don't tell it to her. Why did I bring that up? Yeah, so Nang Mai had the name of my tree, loving kindness. And if you see her, if you know her, you can see how she's always smiley and radiant, and for me she is the manifestation of loving kindness. always wanting to make people around her happy. And her sister, Makhan, had the name of Karuna. Karuna is compassion. Compassion is that desire that we have inside of us to ease the pain and the suffering in the other person. And again, how can you help relieve the suffering of someone if you do not understand what suffering is? So you have to suffer. You have to suffer in order that compassion can be. And we all suffer. And that is the reason why we are on this path together. We have our suffering and we carry them with us. Suffering has been, at the beginning of my practice, has been why I have started to practice. Suffering is also still and will. Yeah, I was to say will always. And I do not like to be always suffering, but I know that that's our fate. So I will jump in and say, yeah, as long as I will be alive and living, suffering will still be there. And I will still need it in order to grow in this practice. So, understanding suffering, understanding our own suffering, working with our own suffering, transforming our own suffering in order to get the experience. This is not something that we are looking for. This is not something that we wish for. But unfortunately, whether we want or whether we wish for it or not, it will be there and it will be waiting for us. And with the practice, we can learn to cope with, we can learn to live through, and every time we succeed, every time we are over with a crisis or suffering in our life, I like to see that we have been growing up in our practice. And talking about suffering, I remember our teacher teaching about no mud and no lotus. And every suffering that is given to us can be at the source of much understanding, new realization, and more compassion for ourselves, and more compassion for others. Unless we have been through suffering, it is difficult to understand the suffering of others. Unless we have been hungry, it is difficult to understand the hardship of a hungry, homeless person. So, compassion, understanding of suffering from our own experience, from our own suffering, and understanding the suffering of others, understanding their condition and their suffering in order to be able to help. The third component of true love is mudita, is joy. Joy when we are together, joy when we are thinking of the other one, joy that just arise without having to do or to say or to anything. And that joy, mudita, is also that that tendresse that I spoke about, the very light feeling that just make us feel light and happy. And the last component is upeksha. Upeksha or what's the translation? Equanimity. It's to love everyone and all beings equally, without discrimination. Discrimination on their belief, on their race, on their blah, blah, blah. Oh, that is so difficult. And I think that equanimity is the manifestation of the deeper understanding of interbeing. That we are in everyone, and everyone is in us. And until we reach that deep understanding of interbeing, or that deep, that vision, or that view of interbeing, so upeksha is that love that just naturally radiates from us and that bounces back from everything that it touches. And that is boundless love. That is the love that is described in the teaching that we very often read together, the sutra on love, Metta Sutta. Just like we practice in such a way that our love inside of us becomes so great that it just radiates out and embraces the whole world and everything that it touches. Today I don't know if you will, but that's what I think that I will invite our friends in Shanghai to read in the morning, is the Metta Sutta. My three sutra on love. I look at the clock and it is, I have 10 minutes left. And it brings me to speak about the four practices of love also that Thay has been teaching us. And the first practice that he has taught us is to be there. And that is the first, also the practice of mindfulness, coming back in order to be there. And the first teaching is I am here for you. And true love manifesting by our true presence. How can you love if you are not there? So that is Thai question, and that is what he is writing something that he's writing on his calligraphy. So I am here for you. It's the first practice that we are practicing. I'm smiling and I'm looking at my sister. How much time can we spend on the two presents? I know I'm very bad at that, and people around me sometimes are not very happy to let me know. You know, I wish that I were your cell phone. So that's how friends in Montreal also look at me. I'm here for you. The second practice, I know that you are there and it makes me very happy. The person who is beside us, if we are not there, if we are lost in our thoughts, can feel very lonely and very alone, even if we are very close to her, to him. And to manifest our presence by being there. And for the other one, and the other one is not there because he or she is too preoccupied by her cell phone. It's not very pleasant. And so that is why the practice of love is not an individual practice, but it is collective or I'm not really here. I am here, but I am at loss for words because those two practices, we could be speaking about it for hours. And I think that they are very important practice if we want to cultivate true love. If we want to cultivate relationship with the person we love and that we want him to love back, how can we love if we are not there? And to be together and to be truly together is are the very ingredients for love to grow. Without the presence, without the communication, without being together, it is difficult for love to survive. Can it be, can that word be? The love will wither if it is not renewed and watered with our true presence. So my wish for you to to enjoy and to enjoy your loved one presence, and my wish to you to be able to offer your true presence to them. So I'm here for you, and I know that you are there, and it makes me very happy. The third practice that Thay has taught us is the practice of compassion. We are together. We are truly present to one another. And we look at the other one and we say, I know that you are suffering. And that is why I'm here for you. The person who is there in front of us or beside us is suffering. And we understand her suffering. And we offer our true presence to help him or her understand and transform her suffering. And I say that happiness is not an individual matter. Or love, joy is not an individual matter. And if our loved one is suffering, we will be, or we are suffering also. So by helping, or helping the other, is helping ourselves. And that is why it is our work and duty as a lover to be doing that. I know that you are suffering, and that is why I'm here for you. And the last, the fourth practice that Thay has taught us with a very famous story from Vietnam, the Lady of Nam Chung, of how wrong perception and pride have brought to much a tragedy. So it's to ask for the other person help. I suffer, please help. And that is the fourth practice of love that Thay has taught us to do. So it is 2 minutes from time. You know, I've been working with the slide of a talk that on true love that we have been doing together in 2005. And I don't know how I was speaking so much because there are still 10 slides. And I'm only up to slide 6. But anyway, so I've lost my speaking speed and capability. So thank you, dear friends, and for being there. It has been, again, such a wonderful time to have with you. And my best wishes to you everywhere you are. I am here in Shanghai, and it is almost as cold as it can be in, well, not almost, well, not as, but almost as I am freezing here. But good news is I will go to more warmer climate soon. So enjoy the cold weather, enjoy the beautiful scenery. I will be seeing you in April. Good night. Good night for me, good day to you.